Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Daily Program. Now, first off, I mean, I know I was certainly shocked when I first received the news this morning that after a mere 10 days, Anthony Scaramucci has resigned, has essentially been dropped as the White House Communications Chief. First off, I'd just like to get what was your initial take?
Well, come on, John, you're being very unfair to Anthony Scaramucci because it was actually 11 days, not 10.
So, oh, we are being unfair.
Got to give him his day. But the other thing about him was that he wasn't actually due to start the job officially until the 15th of August, when the former communications director and the much-loved press secretary, Sean Spicer, actually gave notice and quit. So it was interesting. The person who actually announced Scaramucci's resignation or dismissal was none other than Sean Spicer, who resigned over his appointment in the first place. So there's a delicious irony there. But the thing is, Sean, that it was clearly the wrong fit for the wrong person, and the decision to put him there was the wrong decision. And the new chief of staff who's come in to replace Frans Priebus after that disgusting, profane interview with the New Yorker that Scaramucci gave last week, John Kelly, who's a former Marine general, made it clear who was running the show, and it wasn't Anthony Scaramucci, it was John Kelly. So the first person out the door in no time flat was the one and only Mooch.
How unusual is a departure so quickly in the American political sphere?
Well, in any political sphere, it's absolutely extraordinary. But when you appoint somebody to the job who is unfit for the role and clearly not temperamentally fit and didn't have the experience as a communications or a PR person, something had to give, and it didn't take very long to do, and that was the problem. The thing about political offices here as much as in the US is that the principals, whether it be the president or the prime minister or a minister, depend on the quality of their staff to get things done. And sometimes those types of people, those politicians, are not necessarily CEOs or good managers. I worked with two cabinet ministers in my time in the Howard government. Both of them, brilliant policy people, brilliant politicians, but as managers, they were absolutely lousy. They couldn't run a chip shop. But what they did do was appoint chiefs of staff who could manage well, give good advice, deal with things such as personal rivalries on the staff in a way that kept them above the fray. And in appointing John Kelly, it appears that Donald Trump has finally realised that's what he has to do too.
Well, it's rather unusual that you mention that, because Trump is rather infamous for hiring people that he has personal relationships with, that he can feel a certain degree of trust for, I suppose, rather than what's on their resume. I mean, this is most sort of famously noted with the appointment of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and daughter, Ivanka Trump. And in fact, a lot of reports were saying Scaramucci was hired on the advice of Kushner and Ivanka,
right,
because, you know, they had this personal relationship. If this is the kind of turnaround that we're seeing, what does that say for the fortunes of these people that have the personal relationship with Trump in the White House right now?
Well, when personal relationships work well, such as with John and Bobby Kennedy, they actually are very effective. But when the Trump family rallies around the president in the way that they have and actually makes personnel calls, makes political judgments, is actually in the West Wing of the White House with him, it sends a very poor message. And frankly, Donald Trump's misjudgment in appointing Anthony Scaramucci is Ivanka Trump's misjudgment and not Jared Kushner's misjudgment, if those reports are correct. And in a sense, they are going to be weakened by this fiasco just as much as the president is. But on the other hand, that gives the new chief of staff, General Kelly, a great deal of leverage and influence over the relations within the West Wing. So that includes the family members as much as people like former Breitbart chief, Steve Bannon, who, of course, was another target of that profanity-laced interview with the New Yorker that Scaramucci gave.
And just looking at that kind of thing, we've seen tensions rising between Trump and the Republican Party of late. The attacks he's been making on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, of course, he is it's been faring fairly poorly for him, the Republican Party, and some of these appointments that he's made of outsiders from the political sphere has fared quite poorly for the Republican Party as well.
That's right.
Do you think these rising tensions had something to do with this? I mean, John Kelly coming in, is this sort of, we are seeing a clean slate, we are going to say, well, Trump, the Republican Party, let's go to our separate corners and let's start again with a clean slate with the appointment of John Kelly?
Well, it's interesting, actually, Sean, because as we've been discussing, as John Kelly is a Marine general, he's not a politician. He's not, as Reince Priebus was, the former head of the Republican National Committee. He's not, as Sean Spicer was, a member of the Republican Party's administrative team before he went to the White House. The thing about Donald Trump, which I think that it gets glossed over a bit, but I think it's becoming more and more obvious, is as we're seeing with the president's struggles with a Republican-dominated Congress, that Donald Trump really is not a Republican. He's not really a Democrat either, though for a long time he was registered as a Democrat. He is really his own person. He is an outsider of the party system, and the party system is having trouble coping with him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next little while, because you can't have a Republican president at war with a Republican Congress. It's almost unheard of. So the thing that Donald Trump has to do, besides get his White House back into order, if that is even vaguely possible, is to actually re-establish good relationships with the congressional Republican leadership so that perhaps his legislative agenda, including his attempt to repeal Obamacare, but also his broad ambitions with his budget, just getting the budget to pass is going to be a big issue. I mean, usually when we hear about budget deadlocks between Congresses and presidents, it's the party of, you know, it's opposite parties at a standoff with each other, but we could well have a budget shutdown that involves Republicans against Republicans, and that is extraordinary.
Well, Terry, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us on this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Thanks for asking.